In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Now, if you'd have come here last night, the church here would have looked very different because we had our first carol service, can you believe, on the 29th of November. So many people now want to come and use this space for Christmas and for carols. It's starting earlier and earlier and earlier, as I said last week. But actually, one of the sad things about that, because I love to sing carols, is that we do not do Advent properly. You see, in the church, historically, and in many churches today, if the priest wants it, the people want it, the church is kept bare right up until Christmas Eve. And Christmas starts at Christmas Eve and goes right through until the 2nd of February. And prior to Christmas, we are in a period of waiting. We're waiting for the Lord. We're waiting for him in two senses. One, we're waiting for him at Christmas. And if you look at the stained glass over there, can you see Jesus with the crib scene? Mary, Joseph at the background, and the shepherds. Can you see them in the glass? That's the Christmas story. We're waiting for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. When the schools come in, I always get them to go and find that stained glass for me. But we're also waiting for Christ to return for the whole of humanity, for the cosmos, for the universe. He will be coming back. But there is also a sense in that we're waiting for his return for you. Now, I don't want to get too serious, but I want you to hear this. This Wednesday, I took my sister's funeral. She died suddenly. We didn't expect it. The Lord came for her. One of the most difficult things I've ever had to do in my life, I can tell you. Family gathered. How do I hold my emotions in such a difficult place? But the Lord came for my sister Julie. Same story is also true for you. The Lord will come one day for you. And so it's so important as we go into this Advent season, which means coming, coming, we too recognize that one day we will face God and the Lord, and we need to be ready. So the wonderful thing today is that Joshua is going to be baptized, because he wants to be ready for when the Lord comes. I'm sure he's going to have a very long life. The children here want to receive Holy Communion because they want to meet Jesus at the Holy Communion, because they too want to be ready for when the Lord comes. So whether you're a believer or not, it's worth reflecting deeply on: is there a purpose to the universe and to why we are here? Is this a great, huge accident? Or is it the purpose and the divine love that has made you and me, that calls us into a relationship with him, and therefore one day we will face our Maker and that will be our day? So as we approach Advent, we need all of us to be ready. There's a wonderful word that we use through this season, and you might not even be aware of it, but it was used all the time in the early church, and it's the word Maranatha. Can you say that with me? Maranatha. It means Lord, come. It's a prayer and also a proclamation. Lord, come. Maranatha. The reason it's unusual, it's one of the very few Aramaic words in the New Testament. One of them is Abba. Jesus taught us to call God Abba, Father. It actually means daddy. It's intimate. And another Aramaic word that we get in the New Testament is Maranatha, Lord, come. Maranatha was used all the time in the early church, particularly when they came to break bread at Holy Communion, because they wanted the Lord to be present, and they believed it was at Holy Communion that they experienced his presence most, his resurrected presence. He came into the bread and the wine. He was there to heal them and to restore them, to forgive them, and to give them life. Maranatha. So today, whatever your concerns are in life generally, as we go into Advent, take time out and space to be quiet and pray this wonderful word, Maranatha, Lord, come. So whatever you're facing today, the darkness in your own life, the things that you struggle with at the moment, the things, for example, that distract you in the service today, and maybe your heart is elsewhere because they're on your heart at this very moment, pray over them, Maranatha. Lord, come. So for those who are going to be baptized, Joshua, and the children to receive Holy Communion, we pray for them today. Say it with me, Maranatha. We worry about our country at this time. There's a sort of darkness upon Western life. People have walked away from God. And so we pray for our nation and the West, Maranatha. We still have a war going on in the Ukraine that has impact upon every single person in this room. So we pray for the Ukraine and Russia, Maranatha. The problems that exist in Gaza and Israel, Maranatha. The problems that exist in Africa with those people who are desperate to go to another country to find peace and make a life for themselves. We pray for the migrants that are crossing the channel today, wanting to come to another country, to come to Britain maybe, to make home. We pray for them, Maranatha. See how relevant it is? That's Advent. We're calling God to come to be part of the process, to heal us, to restore us, to give us life. So, here, what occupies your heart today? What gives you the greatest concern? What is your biggest worry? As you go from this service and you go back home. In the next week, what is the thing maybe that will keep you awake at night and wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning with your heart racing? Over those things, pray, Maranatha, Lord, come. As Kemi goes into hospital at Hillenden today, Maranatha this week. As Solomon goes to work as a psychiatrist in Northwick Park Hospital, Maranatha this week. And maybe people who go from this place facing very difficult circumstances, a lot of uncertainty, who knows for your family, Maranatha this week. You see, this Advent, God, is absolutely relevant to your life. And we chase after other things. We go in our own direction. And all the time he's saying to you, come home. Come home. Come back. Come back to my heart. I'm here for you. And so my prayer for all of us today as we go into this Advent is, Maranatha, Lord, come. Let me recommend, for 5 or 10 minutes, you stop this week. Make yourself a cup of tea. Sit in a chair. Be quiet before God and say, Lord, come into my life. Be Maranatha to me. And if you do that, He might surprise you. He might show up. And the turmoil that you face right now, both here and here, there might be a new peace for you in your circumstance. The Lord wants to be your Maranatha. Amen.
We come to a time of prayer. When I say with hope, we can all respond, let us walk in your light. So with hope, let us walk in your light. Let us pray. We begin the season of Advent today by lighting one candle, that reminder of light in the darkness, hope in the future, and trust in the prophecies of old. We are quiet and still. We are apart from the hustle and the bustle of the world outside of here, of lit up houses, Christmas songs in the supermarket aisles, and advertisements of indulgence on the television. Bring us here now to speak to and listen for your still small voice of calm. Slow our minds, our breathing, our bodies, and join us in prayer. With hope, let us walk in your light. We light a candle, an ancient tool, strong yet fragile, reliable and yet in need of nurturing. A simple symbol of hope, light piercing the darkness softly, gently, touching us with warmth and light. Your love touches us just the same. A halo of light surrounds us. Your spirit touches us like a blanket against the cold. One small flame. A flicker of movement, a reminder of the world beyond. A glow and warmth of comfort. One small flame, accompanied by other small flames, a gathering of light, strengthening their collective power to shed light and warmth. We are each one, just like a candle, and your love penetrates and touches those that we encounter. As a church, we are many, a beacon of light in the community. We pray that our light may grow and spread, that each of us will light a flame in another, bringing hope to many. With hope, let us walk in your light. The wax of the candle is the fuel, just as your word and promises fuel us. Touch us with the Holy Spirit that we may walk in your path each and every day. May we be led by your love. Touch others with our words and actions and be fueled by you. As Joshua, Charlotte, Bailey, Riley, Sarah, and Cassie will all confirm their journeys with you today, so we all renew our commitment to you. Help us to remember, to reflect, to grow, and to pray. With hope, let us walk in your light. The wick of the candle, it draws the wax up to be burnt. An enabler, it gives longevity to the candle. Your spirit enables us, strengthens us. We pray for those in our world who are weakened from hunger, fear, and tragedy. For those who know nothing but endless conflict, who exist in a state of constant trepidation, who don't know if they will survive. For earthly trials, when crops fail or conflict stops growth, we pray for peace. We pray for love to conquer greed, for light to banish the darkness. There is conflict everywhere, in our homes, in relationships, in our societies, in our opinion of people who are deemed to differ from us, whose circumstances provide them with a label that stigmatizes. In countries where stalemate means the bombs continue to fall, where centuries of history mean that wounds may never heal, we bring them all here. Let your spirit touch every part of this world that hurts, enabling your love to be carried through to light a fire of hope within. With hope, let us walk in your light. The inner flame of the candle, the darkest part, it is the coldest. We pray for the lonely in our midst, the forgotten who are passed by unnoticed, those that are housebound and hidden, those that are cocooned in a sleeping bag on cardboard boxes in a doorway, seeking protection from the world around them. For the asylum seeker arriving on a small boat because they see it as the only way. For the car wash worker trafficked under false promises. For the families living in bed and breakfast in one room because we fail to provide adequate housing. For the parents working three jobs each and still not making enough to cover the bills. For the disabled whose community care is closed down due to lack of funding. To the children, Lord, who feel unloved and alone. Around the coldest part of that flame is the hottest, most luminous part, the part that we all recognize, the part that mesmerizes us and draws us in. That part is you, your abundant love, the energy and force of love so strong it sent your son to the cross. That love can do anything through us, but by you. Touch each and every forgotten soul, the lonely, the unseen, the mocked, the misunderstood, the blamed, and the victims. Touch them with the force of your love. Train our eyes and hearts to love fiercely. Hold us accountable and give us the strength to love like you do. With hope, let us walk in your light. A candle, a light in the gloom, visible in all parts, but the outer flame, the invisible and yet essential. We pray this Advent season for all those who strive to make a difference, for small acts of kindness, for aid agencies across the world working with danger, for environmentalists seeking solutions for a more sustainable future, for politicians who work for a just and fair society and not for votes at a far-off election. For food banks and shelters who provide for those who need a little more. For staff who care in hospitals, in the community, in care homes. For prison staff, parole officers, and support workers. For family members who care for loved ones who are in need. Silent love, love that expects nothing in return, love for love's sake. With hope, let us walk in your light. Advent, a time of hope, a time of anticipation, one candle that over time will grow to more, a reminder that love grows, that love is strong, that light is stronger than darkness. Let us be vessels for your light, now, today, and with every breath that we take. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.